You about ready? From up your block and down your alley, in the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawai Station, this is Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com with our weekly 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone radio show, You About Ready, and I am about ready. Well, tonight, we're going to raise more hell than the alligators did when the pond went dry. This is my powerhouse hour before you shower, leaving you fresh and refreshed, smelling like one of nature's flowers, and most of all, feeling good about yourself as you listen, learn, and laugh. To make you empowered, to think critically, to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, and to teach you and hope that you become a kid and laugh and play while raising your awareness. That's all embedded in the show. If you listen a little bit closely while you're watching your other TV show or looking at your iPhone, if you listen half attentively, you'll pick up a lot of good stuff to make your life a lot easier, simpler, and better. And by doing so for yourself, guess what? You're going to turn around and do the same for others. We're going to make you more aware about your personal and social, professional worlds. If we all do a little for ourselves, we will do much more for others. I am your radio host, about which I do not boast. Every week from coast to coast, I stopped eating toast. From this hour, I give you my most, often showing my age, since I remember Eddie Yost. Some say I'm a bit verbose. Time for another dose. On Facebook about my show, I do post. With all the talk and an acid reflux, my breath be stankin'. One never knows, including me, what I'm thinking. But I keep going, not even knowing. It just keeps flowing. My goal is to get you growing. Not in girth, but for your spirit and soul. Kind of a rebirth. So, here we go. Just got in. I was telling our engineer at BBSradio.com, the one who makes it all possible for me to come to you and for you to come to me if you so desire. And by the way, you can do that. You can call into the station, BBSradio.com. The number is 888-627-6008. Anytime during this fastest hour of power that you're going to hear on the radio, because it does go by fast, faster than a 30-day mortgage at a bank or a 30-day loan you sign at the bank. All right, this goes fast. If you want to send me an email with any comments or suggestions or ideas or thoughts or insight or wisdom or knowledge, whatever you want to offer, my email address is hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. Time for a commercial for a minute. Remember, freedom isn't free. Thank your veterans. When you see one, it's a stranger only until you reach your hand out for him to her to shake and give a pat on the back and say thanks. We appreciate you doing what you do so that we can do what we do in this great country of ours, the United States of America. We love it. Connected by the Interstate Highway System, brought to you by Dwight David Eisenhower, and beautified by Lady Bird Johnson with her wildflowers all over. Hopefully they'll be coming up soon now that the vortex is gone and winter might have cast its last spell. Well, there was one big storm that might hit the North New England part of the country later on tonight. So if you want to help veterans, you want to do something good for them, have them sign up at my website, www.connectwithveterans.com, www.connectwithveterans.com, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, W-I-T-H-V-E-T-E-R-A-N-S, one word, all one word, connectwithveterans.com. It's a registry where veterans can put in their, from any war, any department, any branch of the military, can put in their personal information as to where they served, what years they were in, what branch of service, any nicknames they had, anything unique about them. And once all the information is gathered, goes in the machine, and maybe, hopefully, they can connect with their buddies. Because a lot of times, especially those suffering from post-traumatic or shell shock from the old wars, who need to connect with their buddies, the ones they served with. They lived, ate, slept, bled, cried, suffered, struggled, and grew into young men and women capable of accomplishing more than they ever thought possible while they were in service and beyond. Sometimes it's a struggle, and you need to reach out and have your buddies, the people you survived those difficult times with, even if you weren't in combat. And that's the purpose of the website. There's a $25 one-time registration fee and a $10 annual renewal fee. And my little niche that I like to carve out in any project that I do is that, yeah, the money will come in. Hopefully we'll accumulate thousands and thousands of registrants, as well as thousands and thousands of dollars. Some of that money, small percentage, will go to help pay for the website. Because there is overhead, not much. There's no fees involved. I'm not having any kind of extraction of money for my well-being or my pleasure or anything. Just to pay the small expenses of running the website, and all the other money, we're going to distribute to deserving vets and their family. Because everyone needs a boost once in a while. I need a boost. I need a boost from you to get the word out, not only about my website for veterans, but about my book. So if anybody knows a publisher out there, because the books I use as reference and resource on the show here, I extract material from, I have them and I want to get them published and put out to the market so people can enjoy what they read and also read along sometimes when I have the books in front of me on the show here. So www.connectwithveterans.com. All the money raised after a minimal expense to cover the overhead for the website goes back to veterans. You know, there's PTSD they're suffering, and therapy and medicine, drugs, doesn't always work. It's good to reach out to a familiar face, however you do it. So that's the commercial for the website and my books and so forth. So call the station here if you have anything to say, 888-627-6008. Tonight at Ball, something unique happened, an example of what I talk about every week. A guy showed up. I didn't recognize him at first. You know, he lost a little weight. He's a big barrel-chested, strong kid. And I haven't seen him in at least 10 years. 10 years ago, he played with us two or three times a week. He was a regular. He's a very good player, a nice guy. He got married. He moved away, had a couple kids, and he's back tonight. And we haven't seen him in at least, as I said, 10 years. A lot of the guys have changed since he was here last, but he knew where the game was. And he told me flat, he said, listen, man, the divorce is hurting me. It's hard. I don't see the kids. I'm struggling. I'm living at home. I moved back to town with my family, but I got to play ball. I said, you always know where the game is, right? The kids who go away to college and come back on break and so forth, they know where the game is. Last Saturday was a great day. We've been playing indoors, but for some reason the gym was closed. Hopefully they're repairing the floors, not making them or taking away the slipperiness and sliding all over. But so we went. One guy sent an email out at 12 o'clock. Game at 2:30, who's in? Well, some guys responded. I got there 20 after 2, and there were 15. I was like the 10th guy. 15 guys showed up, and we played for almost 2 hours in a little bit of a windy, a little bit of a chill, but we got our run in. And even though it was on concrete, you know, guys were complaining because I was aching Saturday and Sunday and Monday, and I'm feeling a little better now that I got a sweat in tonight. But we got the game in. The guys were there. They had that need. We couldn't play inside, so we went outside. Very interesting. And we're happy to have our fellow player back and hope that he gets his life together. And we all reached the guys who know him from the past reached out to him, you know, and that's a great thing. We have another example of will we ever get the truth? And please pray for the passengers on that air flight, the airplane that's disappeared and missing and presumably found in pieces scattered all over the ocean somewhere, and the families are distraught. Pray for them as well, because the reality is all the stories going out of what happened and how it happened and the results of it, we'll never get the truth. Not until 50 years from now when the documents are released and keywords are sort of whited out or crossed out, we won't get the truth, similar to the Kennedy papers that came out 50 years after his loss from this world. So it's sad, but prayer is powerful. We did pray for, and I'm not a religious, I'm more of a spiritual person, as you know, I talk about that a lot. We did pray for one of the BBSradio.com engineers for his puppy, and who's suffering and struggling, and I think the puppy's making a comeback, and it's a great thing for he and his pal, the Pooch. Feeling down and low with some sadness. Rejoice, my friend. Revel in the spirit, energy, passion, and love of March Madness. Fill out your brackets. When you fall in the round one, like most of us did, enjoy your loss by continuing to make a racket. We come from the burbs. We come from the streets. We come from the hood. Basketball keeps us active, involved, productive, clean. And as you know, many of us are very, very, very good. Our spirit, energy, and zeal, by watching us play, you know we are for real. The only thing we will steal is the ball and your hearts as you play along with us from the very start. Oh yeah, we are human, and once in a while, jumping for the ball, we may let out a fart. Running up and down the floor, we slide, bleed, dive, and hustle. with all our strength, determination, character, passion, will, and muscle. We are drawn and driven to the basketball court, both indoors and out in the fresh air, playing all the time, not wanting to miss a day, which is rare. Families taking us to travel games and tournaments, many far from home, to sharpen and hone our skills, preparing to play under the big arena's dome. We learn many a life lesson, so with us, don't come a-messin'. We got each other's back, which is a natural fact. We'll get on a teammate if he's all about slacking and talking smack. We are grateful and thankful for all those who give us support as we continue our journey to the professional basketball court. March Madness is exactly what it is, folks. It is mad, and it is great, and I love it, and I hope you find something in life that you enjoy with such passion that it just engulfs your world for a short time. This is like a two-week period, and it'll continue with the Sweet 16 coming up later this week. Now, we always start with some critical thinking. We want our brains to be active. We want to have the ability to make good choices and to think about what we're doing. Because many times in life, someone asks, why'd you do that? I wasn't thinking, man. That's right. You weren't thinking. Now, perfect doesn't exist, so we know we're going to mess up. But the better skilled and finely tuned your thinking skills are, the better off you are, the healthier you become, and the better decisions you make for yourself and those in your world. Last week, Brainbuster Critical Thinking. You're on your way home. You have to make three left turns to get there. When you get home, there are two men wearing masks waiting for you. How do you explain that? Well, you're on your way home. And this season is just upon us, the baseball season. You're on your way home. You have to make three left turns at first base, second base, and third base. And when you get home, there's two men wearing masks waiting for you, the catcher and the umpire. That's who it is. This week, very simple one. The Brainbuster Critical Thinking thought for this week is, what happens when you throw a blue stone into the Red Sea? What happens when you throw a blue stone into the Red Sea? This week's tidbit of useless information. Did you know? And do you care? But it's like I say, it's always an icebreaker to come up with something silly to keep things even and get the conversation going if you don't know somebody in an awkward situation, of which we have many. You just can't always rely on your cell phone. Do you know the polar bears are left-handed? I don't know who determined that, what kind of money was spent and or wasted in studying this by the researchers with government grants, the scientists up there in the cold regions of the world watching the polar bears emerge and determining if they're left-handed. Maybe it's the way they go after the fish with their left hand. Maybe they're using their right hand for balance. I don't know. I didn't do it. But it's been determined that polar bears are left-handed. How do I know that? I read it on the internet. And you know, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. And since it's baseball season, like the Brainbuster from last week, maybe the scouts are looking at polar bears because left-handers, after all, do make good first basemen. Speaking of baseball and disappointment, when I was a kid, my dad worked at an Army base. He was a civilian commander there. And every Friday night at the Officers Club, which allowed anybody in, it was just called the Officers Club, there was bingo, Friday night bingo. And my dad would call the numbers. And Mom and my brother and I would play. And they would have the regular type of bingo games that we're all familiar with. But they didn't give out money. They had prizes. So I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I'll never forget it, although I never remember anything I forget, and I never forget anything I remember. But I do remember this as a young kindergarten or first grader. I won a bingo, whatever it was, a diagonal, a straight bingo, whatever it was. I won. I got to yell out bingo before anyone else. So I go up to the prize table, and I'm looking around, and of course, when you're that age, everybody loved baseball, right? That's how I remember Eddie Yost and others, right? So I picked out a baseball bat, and I started swinging it. And I'm a right-hander, right? I'm a right-hander, right-handed batter, right-handed thrower. My brother throws left, but he bats right. We figured things that he does with one hand, he does left-handed. Things like bowling and tennis and racquetball. Things that he does with two hands, he does right-handed, right? Like golf. Or batting. He was a right-hander. So anyway, I picked up this bat and I started swinging it. And the man behind there, overseeing the prizes at the table, said, are you right-handed, son? So I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, you can't take that bat. So why? He said, that bat's for left-handed batters. And right away, I dropped the bat. I placed the bat back on the table. My face dropped. Tears started coming. I ran to my parents. And before the next game started, and I said, that bat's not. And my dad, don't worry, go take that bat. He's just playing games. And I went up to him. I said, mister, My mommy and daddy said, I can have that bat because a bat is could be either left-hand or right-hand. He says, you're a fine young man. Take that bat. Go have fun and hit a home run, which I never did because I was a better fielder than I was a hitter. I didn't have the wherewithal, the ability, the skill to break those wrists and snap it and hit the ball. Never hit a home run. Never hit the fence. Rarely got it out of the infield. But I was a good singles and double hitter, and I could move the runners in the game. Cliches that we always talk about are just overused, abused, useless language that we continue to use, abuse, and just overuse. It's awful because we don't take time to critically think of more appropriate language or words or phrases to say. So we fall back on today's modern profanity called cliches. Some of them are being resurrected. Like on the bubble. On the bubble only comes around when the NCAA tournament, because the team might get in, could get in, wants to get in, thinks it'll get in, and so forth, until the final decision is made by that all-encompassing, powerful NCAA tournament crew that no one knows who they are. They must work in a room, sort of like the people who control all the money in the world, a little consortium of half a dozen people making decisions. And so teams are on the bubble until they get selected. Now the bubble has burst, they're in. Or they're not. Although when a pregnant mom, when the bubble bursts, you know the baby's going to be there that day or soon, even after her struggles in labor. So we have on the bubble, when push comes to shove. Now that's sort of old school stuff, but it's sort of been replaced by one of today's more common popular ones, at the end of the day. Well, when push comes to shove, well, at the end of the day, and you hear it all the time, all over, everywhere, it's awful. Groovy from the 60s and 70s, you turned into fat. That's fat, P-H-A-T. Then it turned into, and a groovy and far out, turned into fat and banging and slamming. And they used to call, excuse my mouth from it, they call it, that's the shit, right? Oh, that means it's good. Because when we were kids, the cliche was, man, that's a bad looking ride or car, machine. That's a bad sheen. Bad meant good. So you have to know the modern day definition, where that's where power lies, the power in definition, just as the government and lawyers who make the rules for all this stuff. We did talk about the SHIT word being an acronym, ship high in transit, along with other acronyms as well. TIPS, T-I-P-S, to ensure proper service, and rap music, rhythmic American poetry. Some of the more common, we want to review some of the cliches you're going to hear and hear and hear, especially as election time comes up throughout the country. Transparency, ramp up, I misspoke, which means I lied. Boots on the ground, when the soldiers are getting ready to go and we're standing, we're going to have guys on there and the boots are going to be on the ground. I always thought boots are made for walking. And if you're walking, your feet are on the ground, as are your boots. Thank you, Nancy Sinatra. We're on the same page tonight. I never know what page I'm on. I got a lot of pages here, and no two are the same. And we want to go to the next level and take it to the next level and advance to the next level and so forth and so on. So, cliches. Think of something more appropriate, something more not so used, something maybe original, although the only way to be original is to create language like athleticism and normalcy and words like that. I don't know why, but they become words. And that's the way to create language. The computer has given us a lot of new words. Let's look up Webster. He has a word for everything. Now, we talked about ethics. You know, when you take home office supplies that aren't yours and you're using them for you and your kids and so forth, paper and staplers and clips and all that stuff. You know, I remember about a long time ago, 30 years, I was in a county office government building doing some work trying to get some approvals, and the back door was open. We were leaving at 5 o'clock, and the only door was open for me and my business partner at the time. We had to go out the back door because everything else was locked, and there was a guy who left the door ajar with his foot, so people were coming in at 5 o'clock and they were punching out. And after a few little questions and so, what's going on, these guys had come in at regular time, 7-8 o'clock, punched in, took off, went down the shore, played cards, take a nap, or, you know, messed around, doing whatever to do, and came back and punched out because somebody else was leaving the door open for him to sneak in and do it. So where are the ethics in today's world? I don't know. And one question I have, not about ethics, is why is deli sandwich meat more expensive than steak? I went to, my kid was home, buy some roast beef, it was $10 a pound. I went to get a sirloin steak, it was $4.99 a pound. And when you cook it right, it seems to be a little bit more, less processed. But when the deli meat, you know, chicken, turkey, roast beef, go to $9, $10 a pound? And why are gluten-free foods and double and triple in price in the same? Why is less cost more? It's fat-free, it's sugar-free, it's salt-free, and it costs more than all the stuff that's in there. I know it has to do with marketing and production and so forth, but it seems a bit peculiar, right? A bit peculiar that it costs so much for that to happen. So think about that stuff when you're out there spending your money, because it's your money. What did you do for yourself this past week? Did you lose a pound? Did you talk about your stuff with people? Did you share anything that's on your mind and going on in your world? Did you help someone, right? Did you overcome an obstacle? Did you fight boredom? Did you use any of the things we talked about as far as art, music, sports, activities? We're going to go into some in a minute right here to help you fight boredom. Did you play? Did you laugh? Did you sing? Did you volunteer? And that's a topic we're going to talk about in a minute. Did you write a poem or a story or keep a journal, make an entry in there, and then go back and read it and see how things are working out? Because that's a lot better than reading your horoscope every day. Because I don't know where that stuff comes from, and we only like it when it applies and makes us feel good about ourselves. But, you know, when you put your stuff out there in a written form and don't let anyone see, it's like writing a letter to someone you have to get stuff off your chest with and never sending it to them. Just the act of writing it gets it off your chest and makes you feel good about yourself. Did you make someone smile? Did you reach out to someone in need? Because helping someone else helps you feel good about yourself, right? So what did you do for yourself this week? I'd like to talk about grant money. Strange thing, trying to get, you get grant money and they have all these caveats and restrictions and so forth. And if you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? So I'm in a situation right now where the organization got a lot of money and they have to spend it. So people are scrambling, looking for things to buy where there's no need. It's an educational environment, and the facility has just about all the books and workbooks and equipment that they could possibly use. But there's a lot of money, six figures of money, that must be spent by the next 3 months or it has to go back to the sending organization. Right, which now everyone's scrambling. You got to spend it. And you can't use it for anything but instructional materials. Certainly you can't give the underpaid staff a couple of bucks to make them feel good about themselves and be grateful and thankful for their service and their value to the organization. Can't do that. It's not in the grant. Right. And I remember looking in a school because we played basketball in a school gym. And in May and June, September school supplies are coming in from the places like Staples and Office Max. I don't know if they're still in business, but here comes a truckload of staplers and hole punchers and paper and shredders and all this equipment. And I was asking the maintenance guys, whose responsibility is to put it away, they don't have enough room for it. This is a, you know, middle class school that doesn't struggle economically in the neighborhood. They parents support everything, but they have this money they have to spend. It's in the budget. And if they don't spend it this year, the money won't be allocated next year. So they repeat the process. So every teacher has, you know, five staplers, three hole punchers, you know, extra computers, smart boards, calculators that are probably more exotic and fully equipped than they actually need, and just stuff and stuff and stuff, and it just accumulates, which is why in some districts, the stuff goes in warehouses, probably owned by members of the educational community or their affiliates, right? So they're leasing out space. They own a building. They rent out space, and they got a built-in tenant themselves. Of course, the name on the title or on the deed or the contract is not them. That would be a conflict of interest and unethical. But we know that stuff happens. Just follow the paper trail. But it's very bothersome to have to spend money. I'm not like that, right? I'm not like that because, you know, you have to spend money like it was your own. And just to spend it for the sake of spending it is ridiculous. It just doesn't follow that they should have to do that. But that's what grant money is all about. That's why there's so much waste, unnecessary purchase. You know, the money is dedicated and everything goes to a warehouse and sits there and you repeat the process the next season, right? Not good. money could be spent other places, because you know what? There are kids who go to school hungry. There are kids who go to bed at night hungry. There are kids who don't get medication, right? There's a lot of that going around. So why can't we just divert some of that money, as you can, to people who work in an educational environment and give them a few bucks from the grant? I don't know. It's not out there. But that's a shame. That's a real shame that money is wasted like that, right? So one thing I've discovered that's quite disgusting. You know, we're all clean freaks and everything has to be cleaned and sanitized and people wear gloves and body prophylactics and everything else, you know, except the prophylactic when they really need it, when they want to go all in, which is one of the cliches, except, of course, if they need a little blue pill to keep Herm the Worm, that little one-eyed, ball-headed devil, working. Not for 4 hours. You go out of your mind. Get down there, boy. Get down there. What I have is unofficial. It's not scientific. There's no data research or documentation available. But the dirtiest, filthiest, nastiest place where germs, bacteria, and everything else accumulates is the handle that you push to flush the toilet, right? Because only you know where your hands have been and what they've been doing. And so we take care of our business, we cleanse the sensitive tissues, and we touch the handle to flush the toilet. And I don't know of anybody, many people don't wash their hands. We've talked about that before. 60% of men in public places don't wash their hands. Where that came from, I don't know. Maybe the internet. But we wash our hands, hopefully, but we don't wash the handle. We don't use that antibacterial or any form. We don't even wipe it down, right? We wipe sweat at the gym so we're not kicked out for bad behavior and unsanitary conditions. But check out that handle. We ought to get some communications major who love to do term papers in high school and college to research and dig in and get all the data and make it official and scientific. But watch when you flush the toilet. Who's been in there and what have they been doing? You never know where the hands have been, digging and scratching and cleaning. I recently did a life skills story. This is where we're going to talk about a little money. I did a life skills seminar on independent living. And because people complained about not having enough money. Now, I'm not cheap or frugal or anything like that, but I just watch what I spend, because I like to take in more than I give out, because interest is something you should earn and not pay, even if it's a measly 0.1% at the bank or other forms of investments. So 70% of the people, I asked them, what about money? How do you manage your money? What do you do? How do you spend your money? 70% of the people smoked. They bought their Starbucks or like-kind coffee, latte, frappuccino, whatever it's called, every day. They have an iPhone, an internet, a cable. They eat out 3 to 5 times a week, lunch and dinner. They dry clean everything. They use premium gas for their car, even though regular will do, according to the book. And they buy their food from the market in boxes, cans, prepared, and bags instead of making it themselves, which is why I guess deli meat costs $10 a pound and a raw steak costs $5 a pound and plain old chicken is $2 a pound or less, depending on if you get it on sale. So you have to follow the money trail, because you know what? Just like the man says, there ain't nothing more important than the moolah. So if I ask the people, how many smoked a pack a day? And again, the majority raised their hand and said yes. Well, an average pack of cigarettes is $8 a pack. 8 times 7 is 56. 56 times 52 weeks in a year is a lot of money, maybe $2,500, $2,700 right there. How many people get their Starbucks or like-kind coffee every day? What's the average price? $4 a day. Well, they get it every day, even on the weekends when they're not rushing on their way back and forth to work. And some get 2 a day, but we'll stick with 1 a day. Let's go to 5 days. $4 a shot, five days in a week. 20, 5 fours are 20. It's $1,000 a year you're spending on coffee and another $2,500 on cigarettes. $3,500 to keep your hands occupied so you don't have time to reach out and what? Shake somebody's hand. Because you have a coffee, cigarette, and the other things in your hand or close by is your cell phone. Now, you're going to buy the latest, most current, up-to-date model. Even if you get a good deal, it's $100 for the phone. Not bad, but the plan is there. You got to pay for the plan, and you want internet and you want cable. You buy the bundle. Everybody, it's got to be close to $200 a month, $2,400 a year for your necessities, which are amenities. $2,400 for that, $1,000 for coffee, $2,500 for cigarettes. A lot of money. You're close to $5,000. All right, and eating out is always much more expensive than eating home. I made dinner the other night for my wife and I, and I've gotten this dinner. It was boneless chicken grilled over a bed of lettuce and a little vegetable on the side. I think it cost, for the both of us, it might have cost $6, maybe, right? And that's with the salad dressing. And we drink water because that's what we like. At a restaurant, I got the same meal, not quite as extensive, and it was $12.50 for the boneless chicken grilled over a bed of lettuce and a slice of carrot and a piece of tomato. So they eat out all the time, and they wonder where their money goes. We have no idea. Follow the paper trail. You'll have more money than you ever thought possible. Just like by listening to what you learn as you listen and laugh on bbsradio.com, You About Ready with Marty Ford, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you listen and learn and laugh a little bit around here, you'll have much more of a life for yourself. And if you have much more of a life for yourself, feeling good about yourself, accomplishing more than you ever thought possible about yourself, you will enjoy your life and you will do the same for someone else, right? The same for someone else. There's a rumor going around. I heard the word on the street at one of those big box appliance stores, because we were buying a cable. We needed a cable for the computer, and my wife wanted to look at a washing machine. So we went, got the cable, which was fine. Turned out we didn't need it. They took it back, no big deal, but we had to make another trip to the store. So I met a guy from a manufacturing company about washing machines, and he started talking. He said, you know what? In New York City, they want to double the population in the next generation. Double the population. How do they do that? Where do they put these people? Well, they take the already cramped, small, crowded units, apartments, whatever you want to call them, studios, efficiencies, rooms, and they want everybody to start living between 100 and 150 square feet. Now, a garage is 10 by 12, or a parking stall at a shopping center, I think, is 9 by 18. So now you're going to put somebody in a 10 by 15 room. That's going to be the kitchen, the dining room, the bedroom, the living room, the entry area, the storage, the washer and the dryer, and so forth. And you're going to have everything scaled down. He said his company, which I won't mention because I don't have authentic proven knowledge. I'm just having conversation with him. But he had no need not to be telling me what was going to happen in the future. Why would he do that? Who could make this stuff up? They want to double the population of New York City. Oh, my goodness. So instead of 8 million stories in the Naked City from that TV show a long time ago, there's going to be upwards of 16 or 20 million people living there. Holy mackerel, if they all flush at the same time, the island will sink, right? And it'll be crazy out there. So that's a little word on the street, tidbit of useless information, but if it comes to fruition, oh my goodness. You know, the bullies are winning again. I just read something today. A father in Northern California was tired of his son being bullied, so he took action. He got a restraining order, which seemed out of the question. It's very unusual to do that for this type of situation. Do you know the families have to relocate when the bully wins? I've known two in our neighborhood. The kid was getting bullied. The school did nothing because the lawyers got involved, and they didn't have proof. They have to wait for the bully to come in and actually come in blasting and shooting and creating havoc before somebody says, oh, yeah, because everything's confidential. He's in therapy. He's under a doctor's care. But it ain't working. They're still getting away with it, these bullies, right? And these are young kids, I think, in middle school or elementary school. Grade school. Grade school, I guess, is elementary school, right? The bully has, in this case, I'm almost sure that the bully, where nothing's going to happen to him or her, whoever it is, and it's, the school said, it's a serious issue. We understand that. But we just can't expel somebody and kick them out of school if there are no laws we have to follow. Oh, there are certain laws we have to follow. Well, the law, again, is protecting the criminal justice system. And the people in jail who are convicted of not bullying, but like I always say, the weed people, put them out on the street. They're harmless. And put people like this away because the help they're getting isn't working. And there's probably influence in that family to keep this kid protected. Maybe a family member or a neighbor or a friend or somebody has some leverage in that family, whether they have it or someone has it on them, that they're allowing this kid to continue. They said separate the kids in their class, and they did. They put one kid in between the bully and the kid who was bullied. What good is that? The taunting and the torment still goes on. Get rid of the bullies. They're harmful. They're going to turn into bigger bullies when they get older, if they haven't been already. And they're going to do harmful things to a community, destroy families. Their families all destroyed. Chances are the kid who is bullying has been bullied himself. So let's look into that. Let's not keep everything hidden and secretive and confidential and discreet. Let's expose this stuff for what it is. It's ruining kids. And the people who are doing it turn out to be bullies, ruining the lives of older people until they finally get caught out there and it catches up with them. But we're protecting them the way we protect a lot of people. The church hides priests who are abusive, and they send them out to other places, in remote areas for what they do. If you mess with a kid, you don't deserve to be on the street. You don't deserve anything, no matter anybody. I don't care what profession you're in or why you go into it. And if you go in there to something, to a job or a situation for work, just to be able to take advantage of somebody, then you're one sick bastard, and you need to be away. And that's where the laws have to be tougher. And we have to expose these people for who and what they are. Not try to protect them and say, it's not their fault. They didn't take their meds. They didn't have a birthday party when they were 7 years old. They didn't get invited to the dance or whatever it was. Bull. Those are excuses. And what you learn here, listen to the Marty Ford Live on Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on bbsradio.com. What you learn is excuses explain failure. And that's all we have. Some kids just had some racial thing, racial slurs, talking about the KKK and Hitler and all this other stuff against black kids they were playing against or some team thing. And at the end of the article that I read, of course, it's on the internet, it must be true, they said, oh, we were just joking. It ain't no joke, man. You want us to joke on you? What happened when it turns around and comes at you? You go crying to your mama and try to hide and get protected and get everybody on your side so that you retain the leverage. The world's got to change. Slowly it is. We're not putting up with this stuff. We're not tolerating anymore. Schools have to protect the kids. That's what they do. Educate, protect, and let them have fun. Because when the bullies are around, there's no fun. We had bullies playing with us at basketball, pickup basketball, and I knew who they were. And straight up, I'm glad when they didn't show up because it ruined the game. They throw their body all over. Then I found out this kid was some spoiled brat, right, who came from money. And everybody bowed to him, and he just bullied. He used to come in spikes first playing basketball or baseball, I heard, when he was a kid. No good. No good. Let's take care of these bullies and let it nice and peaceful and calm. Even though we know there's problems out there, can't live in a perfect world. Perfect doesn't exist. We know that. Just look at Russia. They're taking over the world. They got the port country in their grasp and under their control. You're going to move and take over. And that's what other people have done in the past. And if you don't learn from history, guess what? It's going to come back and kick you again. The bullies keep getting away with it. Let's deal with them. Let's go right at them and say, not anymore. You're done. We're taking over. We're for peace and protection. We're for calm and equality and all. We're not bullying people. We don't want you. They're useless, worthless pieces of whale dung in the ocean. That's what they are. Healthcare. Not going to talk about national healthcare, even though I have the solution for healthcare and giving chance of people to get covered if you're an American citizen and raise money and give people a chance to win a few bucks with our national healthcare lottery. But that'll come back again as I bring it up every few weeks on bbsradio.com with Marty Ford. Childbirth. A woman I know, her daughter just had a baby over the weekend. The baby and the mother were home a day and a half later. And that's hard because what a woman has to go through, a man would never do. We would not tolerate it. There'd never be another kid born if men had to go through what women go through, emotionally, physically, biologically, physiologically, changes to their body and all the other things that occur, and it's the discomfort of going to the bathroom every 5 minutes, especially in the later months, and the fact you can't get out of a chair. And the reason that they, if a woman, after she gives birth, should be in a hospital 4 or 5 days. Let her body calm down. Let men go through the stress of that. I've had kidney stones, and a lot of the nurses say, oh, it's just like giving birth. No way. I'll never know what that's like, but I know what it's like. I've seen my wife go through it and other women go through it. It's not fun. So give the women a couple of extra days to have a little bit of service to them by the nursing staff and the rest of the staff at the hospital. Have their meals brought in, have the beds changed, maybe help with a shower, take the baby into the nursery, bring them back for feeding, let them, whatever it is, give the woman a break, right? Because she's got the next generation to take care of and nurture and nurse, right? Especially a nursing mom. They're up all night. And the reason that women are booted out of the hospital right away is because men write the rules, right? Women should write the rules, right? Because it's women who go through it. But men write the rules, and they have all their efficiency experts and actuaries and all the other stuff. The woman should stay there. Maybe get a massage, a facial, a mani-pedi, right? A hairstyle, some spa treatment. Give her a little bit of luxury for a few days before she has to go back to the daily grind of raising a kid. And speaking of I came home, a personal story here. I came home at 2 o'clock in the morning one night from work when our first was born, because I was out every night getting my brains beat out of planning boards, trying listening to the neighbors say, well, we want birch trees, not spruce trees on the border. Okay, so whatever it was. And we tried to appease them and make everybody happy. And I think we did a good job. We had a little niche market, like I like to do, a little niche market in the real estate business for a few years with some other partners. So I came home at 2 a.m. and my wife was still awake and the baby was attached, nursing. My wife was in her nightgown. I looked at her and said, how was your day? She says, how was my day? I haven't eaten. I haven't showered. I haven't changed clothes. I haven't talked to my mother. I've been attached all day. Thank God there was no problem with the kid. It was just the fact that she was attached. The baby was attached to mother, and my wife hardly got out of the chair. And at that time, incidentally, nurse is a verb. Just so you know, nurse is also a verb, not just a noun or an adjective. And that's when we made decisions to change our life and lifestyle here, because I couldn't come home at my age. I was 40 when our first was born. The doctor said, yeah, having a 2-year-old or 42, that's going to be a problem. Then our second was born, our son was born, I was 44. I had just had cataract surgery so I could see him, thank goodness. I called my doctor Amazing Grace. Was blind, but now I see. He was a good man. He took care of me, and the pain only lasted a short time and went away when I saw our beautiful son born in the room. You got to do that, guys. Be in the room with him and change diapers. Guy who doesn't change a diaper doesn't have that relationship with their kid. Very special and unique. So we changed our whole lifestyle, made a lot of sacrifices, especially economically, for the good of the kids. But I was an old parent, and having a 2-year-old is 46. Now that's going to be a problem. I said, Doc, you know, we love you. We've been with you for many years. You got us through some struggles and help us overcome some setbacks and obstacles in pregnancy and retaining and so forth a couple of times. But come up with another line. I've heard that same line a few years ago when our first was born. So if you want to feel good about yourself and fight boredom, the enemy of us all, we're going to go back to my book, Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All. And we started with a lot of sports and activities. Went into the art and music and dance and cultural things, whether you're a participant, a spectator, an observer, just someone who appreciates it. But volunteering makes you feel good, mostly because you were doing something for someone else, even someone whom you may never meet. Anytime you touch a heart or save a life, you have done well for yourself. And you may not know it. That's okay. You go to bed sleeping with a smile on your face for that reason, not for the other reason. Pollination. People volunteer for many reasons. It does not matter why you volunteer. Just do something. Get out, get up, get out, get going. Do something. The beauty of volunteering is that in most cases, you have more control of what you want to do since there is little financial obligation or responsibility, right? Most every nonprofit organization needs volunteers. Some can exist if they have a core of dependable, reliable, and dedicated people to make the work, to make the place work. So get up, get out, get going, get out there, get involved, become of a part of a whole, meet some people, do something for someone else while doing something for yourself, and have some fun putting a smile on someone's face by just doing a little simple thing like helping them open a door is a great thing. This list that you're going to hear in the next minute or so is by no means an all-inclusive compilation. It is intended, as you are all, as are all my other lists in my book, as a place to begin your journey. If you need a place to start, just type in volunteering into your search engine on your computer and find your home, your niche, your market, your place. And you can do this in hospitals, nursing homes, schools, environmental causes, garden clubs, historical societies, fire departments, emergency medical services, crisis hotlines, homeless shelters, local governments, planning boards, zoning boards, health departments, summer camp, libraries, Santa Claus, and Easter Bunny. I did the Santa Claus thing for many, many years, right? Special Olympics, youth hotline, local helpline, an orphanage, an animal shelter, tutor a student, read to someone who can't for whatever reason, walk the neighbor's pet, raise money for a cause of your choice, be part of the fundraising, get involved in an organization, work for a conservation and preservation organization, the Red Cross, a house of worship, food collection and distribution groups, election boards, parks, collect and distribute clothes and food, museums, the Salvation Army, theater group, kids programs at school, house of worship, and local recreation centers, youth sports activities, coaching, managing, concession, committee board member, the Rotary, the Knights of Columbus, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, your local business association, the Habitat for Humanity, foster care, United Way, art clubs, Meals on Wheels, senior citizen services, work for the candidate of your choice. Hopefully, they won't be the incumbent. We got term limits. That's how you do it. You vote them out of office. Vote the ones who aren't doing it the right thing and doing inappropriate, unethical, illegal things. Vote them out. The Peace Corps, clean up parks, streams, and beaches. Sponsor someone in a marathon or walk a marathon yourself. Run in a 5K. Work for a 5K or 10K or 3K, whatever the Ks are. Work for a health organization like the Arthritis, Diabetes, or Heart Foundations. Recycle Center, the Girl Scouts, the Brownies, the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts. Daycares, camps, environmental commissions, right? You need support while you're going through this episode of Fighting Boredom. Those are just samples of things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, right? You need support, right? And we all need support because you can't do all this alone. Especially, this is geared and not focused 100%, but certainly people in recovery who are struggling with their recovery, you don't have to do that. There's no need to do that. Once you understand you're going to be in recovery the rest of your life, the rest is what? Maintenance and support, right? Let's take an example. A one-woman show, a one-man show comes to town, a concert, well-known person, right? It's a one-person show. I don't think so. Because if you go there and get behind the scenes and see what goes on there, it's not a one-person show. When you consider they have backup singers and dancers and lighting and sound and engineering and construction and food and costumes and hair and makeup, administration, ticket sales, promotion, accounting, the crew, the drivers, the coordinators, because things just don't happen without someone doing the dirty work behind the scene. Ushers and advertising, public relations, sales and marketing, insurance, permits, transportation, medical staff, and communication. So it's really not a one-person show because without the support of everyone involved, there is no show. Just like without customers to service, you have no business. That's why people work for tips, and many of them, if they understand customer service, they do very well. Because as I said at the beginning of our show tonight, tips to ensure proper service. The better the service, the better the tip. And if you work for tips, you know how about tipping. One thing that galls me is when I've heard in the past, and one most recently, somebody was bragging, I never tip. Well, they never work for tips, and I don't want to see them anymore or talk to them. They don't know the human element behind it because maybe they spoil. Maybe they're bullies. I don't know. I don't want them in my life. Most people get their support from family, which is great. It's the strength of a society and a culture is your family. So especially those in recovery, reach out to your family. Find the clean, sober, and healthy ones who are going to give you the support that you need. Remember, because you can't do it by yourself, right? So you need support. Family is where you should get your support. There are times and situations, especially delicate and sensitive situations, that require support from outside the family, if in fact the cause of the need for your family, for your support, is your family. Sometimes you just got to get away, right? What support mechanisms you choose, whatever one you choose, the results should be the same. You should feel good about yourself. Feel good about making others feel good about themselves. Enjoy what you are doing and know and understand the value and importance of the support given and received, because you can't keep it unless you give it away. So the support you get, the love you get, is the love you give. I think that was a song many years ago. Same with support. Put something into your support and you will get more from the experience. Here's a list of where support can be found. It's all over. Singles groups, cancer survivors, Diabetes Foundation, Alzheimer's groups, Alcohol Anonymous, NA, AA, Gamblers Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sex Addiction People, New Parents Groups, Mommy and Me, Planned Parenthood, Parkinson's, Debtors Anonymous, Parents of Multiples, Lions Club, Family History Group, Junior League, Mastectomy Programs, Survivors of Suicide, Lupus Foundation, the SID Support Group, Mad and Sad, Leukemia Society, Nursing Moms, a weekly card game or bingo or basketball or bowling game, quilting clubs, garden clubs, biking, Bird Watchers Club, Mended Hearts, depression, ADD, ADHD, a manufactured illness. I'm not sure about that one, but it's out there. It's real. So we have meds for it. We need support system for it. We need people to have an outlet for it, just like all our veterans need an outlet to connect with their people. Trauma, divorce, bereavement, amputee, stroke, gender identity, bipolar, arthritis, adoptive family support, bridge clubs, weight loss, that's a big one, anxiety and panic disorder, Emotions Anonymous, domestic violence, MS groups, birthing classes, Lamaze, we went to that, had great support, great leadership, a bridge club or a Mahjong club. What, and many, many, many more. I didn't get them all because I don't know them all. I can't know everything. Remember, perfect doesn't exist, but it's a place to start. All I want to do is be the catalyst, the boost that you need, like the boost I need. We all need a boost. Sometimes you help yourself. You give yourself a boost, and that's the best feeling when you overcome an obstacle or survive a struggle and move on with your life. Whatever condition you have or interest you, you want to pursue this in an organization to satisfy your needs. All you have to do is look for it beginning in your backyard and expanding outward until you find your place. Right? It's out there. Help is out there. Support is out there. You don't have to sit home being bored watching the electronic brainwashing box, rectangular as it is. You don't need six talking heads screaming at you, providing poor behavior and poor role modeling for our kids by not letting anyone finish a sentence. We don't need that. We need to be around like, kind people. Because when you're, let's say, in a quilting club or a sewing club, you're active, you're creating something, you're artistic, you're showing your skills, but you're also talking, communicating, relating, listening, understanding, and feeling compassion in your heart for people in your world. You know, hairdressers and bartenders and cab drivers make a living doing this. Since the best explanation, as we always say, is an example, I hope I have provided you with enough basic information in this book for you to get started in getting and keeping your life in order and maintaining control of your everyday situation. Control. When you're in control, when you're in control, you win, right? When you're in control, time is your friend. You have plans. You have a schedule. You have free time. You have a whole life, right? We talked about that in my book, Power Up Your Power. You know, what are the ingredients of your life? What is it you want to do? You have to come first. So when you have control in your life, you're able to make good decisions. Why? You're critically thinking. You have a heightened awareness of what's going on in your world. And you have a place to go and something to do, right? The worst thing to do is to retire. People say, well, I want to retire. Not good. Because retirement can be the lead to the boredom that's the enemy of us all. People who retire, sit in a chair, they're done. They have no purpose in life. They wake up, they used to have the place to go, a job, to make money, to socialize, to interact, to have responsibilities. They retire, they sit there, they have nothing. And smart, wise, informed, aware people who retire, regardless of your age, keep themselves busy and occupied. You keep your mind active, you keep your soul active, you keep your spirit healthy and alive to yourself and to others. That's what it's all about. Empowering yourself to do all these things, to live the life that you want to live. Proof that it works. We have my book, Power Up Your Power, and I wanted to give you an example of proof that it works, but I think we're running out of time. We'll have to do that next week because it's a bit wordy and a bit lengthy in content. And as you know, I am verbose if you listen to my opening statement today. And we want to make sure that kids have an outlet to play. We get rid of the bullies. We make our streets safe, our parks safe, our environment safe. We can let kids go out and play. And a lot of the stuff that they struggle and suffer with, maladies, afflictions, addictions, tensions, all these deficits, these negativity, negative things in the world, maybe they'll go away if they just get out and play, right? Just get out and play. They get up, they get out, they get going, they get away from whatever electronic form of entertainment they are using, and they become human. They learn life skills in the game of play, many a life skill. And they also learn from in the world of work. So let your kids work at an early age. They can't get jobs in a lot of places, but they can walk a neighbor's dog. They can take in the mail. They can do a lot of things to earn some money, learn the value of customer service and self-respect, and make a few bucks at the same time. Well, it's time for me to make like a hockey player and get the puck out of here. You have two hands, one to help yourself, one to help someone else. All you need in life are roots to keep you grounded and from where you can grow. You need wings to build your place in this world where you can fly away and discover its wonder, beauty, and joy. This is Marty Ford, live on bbsradio.com, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Send me an email with anything on your mind at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. And remember our veterans. Thank a veteran for their service, and hopefully someday it'll come back and someone will thank you for what you do. Have them sign up at my website, www.connectwithveterans.com, www.connectwithveterans.com. This is Marty Ford saying power up your power, because the power is in you.